Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, everyone. This is episode 204 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and I had a special request from this week's guest to be a part of this week's show. It is none other than T-Dog Jerry Travelstead, the very first Stride Pro Wrestling Legacy Champion. And Jerry, welcome to the show, and explain to everyone why you wanted to be guest 204.
Well, anybody that's listening that's around the Peneyville area would obviously know, but 204 is a very special number to me, and it has obviously grown on me since my time as superintendent here in Peneyville. Our school district is school district number 204, and so that number, when I saw you were getting close, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to get me on there, and I kind of wanted to share our message, and the number 204 just kind of went along with that.
It is a perfect pairing, and I want to also mention, and what Jerry is going to be talking about with us this week is fundraising and the efforts that go into putting a live professional wrestling show together. And Jerry and I first met, gosh, it's probably been almost 3 years or so ago. You were actually holding a fundraising event in Pinckneyville, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan was the special guest. So kind of walk us through wrestling fandom first for you. How did you become a wrestling fan? Because I know you grew up a few years behind me, but you had the big LJN action figure. So we kind of grew up in the same era of wrestling. But talk about fandom and then how that spawned into a fundraising event with the likes of Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Right. So you're correct, Kevin. I mean, I was an 80s kid, and so LJN was, I had those figures and grew up with Hulkamaniac and all those guys back in that day. And so I was as addicted to wrestling back then as a little kid could be. And so it wasn't until about junior high and kind of got out of it. In high school, I kind of got out of it, which happened to be one of the most exciting times in wrestling, and I missed it. But the Attitude Era, basically, I missed the entire thing, and that, you know, and didn't get back into it until a few years ago. My boys were getting to the age where I thought they might like wrestling, and Bert Prentice actually brought wrestling to the Duquoin State Fair a few years back, and my boys went. Hacksaw was there, and there were some other older wrestlers, like Coco Beware was there, and some others, and so we went and watched, and after that event, there was an advertisement on TV for a fundraising event. It was Bert Prentice was throwing the advertisement out there, and so I thought, what the heck, I'll give it a try. So I called, and I said, hey, what's this all about? And he explained how it worked on his end, and I decided to give it a try at 204. And so we did it a couple times, and the first time I did it, I thought, man, I can do this, you know, and I think I could do this and make it a little bit more family friendly for my clientele, you know, being mm-hmm. in the school.
Sure.
And the second time around, I thought, next time I'm doing this on my own, you know, I'm gonna figure out how to do this and kind of run things. And so the second time we did it, actually Bert kind of stepped to the side and let me do things the way I wanted to do it and try to make it the environment better. And I think I even gave away some turkeys because it was around Thanksgiving, you know, as door prizes. And we did some fun stuff with the kids, like letting them get in the ring and take pictures and trying to think of ways just that to make it and make the kids involved and have a good evening. And so and then eventually we did it another time, and when I was on my own, decided that it's time to start bringing in some people. And so we had three goals in mind when we started doing this, and I say we. It was Sean Carter, Josh Plumley, who's a Stone Cold Plumpster, mm-hmm. and myself. And we decided, okay, we're gonna buy a ring and we're gonna start doing this ourselves. And we had three goals. Number one, we wanted to raise money for people. Number two, we wanted to bring in some talent that we would like to meet ourselves, and we knew other people would like to meet. And number three, we wanted to have an awesome event for families, just something that they wouldn't mind spending $30-$40 to go to, and when they left, they felt like they got their money's worth, you know. And so that was our three goals, and we did that the first time with Hacksaw, and I ended up tag teaming with Hacksaw, and that was the start of my wrestling career, so to speak. After the match, Hacksaw sincerely expressed to me, I felt, being sincere, not just blowing smoke, but thought I did a pretty good job in the match. And when he told me that, kind of lifted my sails a little bit, and I decided to kind of keep going with it, ever so, sparingly, of course. So we did that. Josh and Sean and I all pitched in and bought a ring, and we bought a trailer, we bought some guardrails, and now every time we do a show, we make a little bit of money. We try to put it right, we absolutely do put it right back into the show. This last time with Abyss, we purchased some what they call fire geysers, and that was our new thing, new toy, so to speak, and for his entrance. And so we just try to make it fun, make the entrances, to me as a fan, are a big part of it. That's, I think if you have a cool entrance, the wrestling is very, very important, obviously, but what Sean and Josh and I try to focus on is the other stuff. And then of course Stride Pro Wrestling is who we team with now. And Tyler Hatton has just been, an unbelievable individual in my mind. And of course, you, Kevin, you're a big part of Stride Pro Wrestling as well. So now we kind of team with Stride, and Tyler handles all the wrestling side of things with the boys and the money and the training and all that goes into that. Basically Josh and I and Sean kind of try to think up how we can make the all around show just a little bit better, a little bit more entertaining. So it's so far, man, it's been a good match, we love having you, Kevin, of course. You're a big part of Stride, and I think your face has been out there associated with Stride a lot. And I think that helps a lot with you, with the connections you have social media wise and with Channel 3. And so I said a lot, and you only asked me one question.
Well,
so
no, that's perfect. And I enjoy it, and I appreciate being a part of it too, because like you said, it is a lot of that behind the scenes stuff. It's a lot, the fans come out and they see the finished product, so to speak, when the wrestlers come out, but there's so much that goes in, especially on these fundraiser shows, because when you and Josh and did you say Eric?
Sean.
Sean Carter. When you guys host a show, in Pinckneyville, whether it's at 204 or at the high school when we did the All Steel Cage Match show, you guys put on a presentation. There's you mentioned the entrances, and there's just so much work that goes into it. So did you ever imagine back when you teamed with Hacksaw, and obviously he had some encouraging words for you, and that may have persuaded you to pursue an in-ring career of sorts. But did you ever imagine, at that moment that you would one day be the very first Stride Pro Wrestling Legacy Champion, but also continuing to go on and have these stellar matches, this past week against Tony Flood, and what a match that many people will talk about for years to come, I think.
Absolutely not. I couldn't have imagined any of this, to be honest with you. The first time I did the wrestling with Hacksaw, I think it was 2015, and my dad and I were big wrestling fans. We watched it together, and my best friend growing up, Brandon Dame, and I, we watched it together, and every Monday night, even before it was Raw, we used to watch it. And in my opinion, you do a lot of things in life for those memories you used to have, and for people that aren't around anymore. My dad passed away in 2015, and my mom did. And, you know, doing this to me is kind of like almost like reaching back in time and reliving some of those good memories I had with those people, you know, that aren't here anymore. And I could never have imagined being a professional wrestler. I mean, I had my pillows in the living room that I wrestled the heck out of, you know. And eventually got a wrestling buddy, you know, and did that whole thing. And could never imagine being a champion of sorts, you know, holding a belt at a wrestling company. I mean, it was really a surreal moment. And it's kind of, for some people, they don't understand it, think, oh, it's hokey or, you know, corny or whatever. But for me, man, it was emotional for me. I mean, I can only imagine how proud my dad would be.
Sure, absolutely. You
know? And it's just been a good experience. But, moving on, you've been around, Kevin. You see the kids' faces.
Oh yeah.
Of course, I'm a face. I can't imagine that my character would ever be a heel, but that's up to Tyler. But it's so fun. I mean, being with the kids and high-fiving them and having them cheer you on, and now moving to what we've moved now with all the help that we get. Yeah, it takes us. It literally takes us 2 days. To set the stage, the curtains up, and then to tear down afterwards. I spent 2 days. This one, we brought in hay bales, and Josh and I carved pumpkins, which took us probably spent 3 or 4 hours just carving pumpkins, you know, just to try to make it look neat. But that's what we love about it. I mean, we love the atmosphere, you know, trying to make it a whole thing. And like Saturday night, I had a couple ladies come up to me from West Frankfort Intermediate School. The only reason they came was to see what it was like and see if they wanted to do a fundraiser like this.
Oh, wow.
It was probably the second match of the night, and she came up to me, and then the first two matches were great. I mean, to be honest with you, Kevin, I thought top to bottom. My match and Plumlee's match at 204 – we're going to get cheered and popped no matter what we do. You know, sure. We could be the worst wrestlers in the world, and we're still going to get, you know, a great reaction because of who we are here locally. But, man, the matches, the four-way ladder match was awesome. I love what they did with the four-way tag match, the way they worked everybody in. It was entertaining. And so by the second match of the night, those ladies came up to me, and it was like, they explained who they were and was talking to me, and they said, we want to do this. You know, we really want to try to pull this off. And so that's why I try to explain to her that, you know, typically at a show, we can set up our ring and guardrails no problem in a couple of hours, you know, and be ready to go. But if you, you know, but if you're talking about wanting a stage and the entrances and things like that, that takes us a while. Sure. And so to go somewhere and do that, we need an extra day, which sometimes is difficult because basketball and volleyball and everything else going on, to give up your gym is not easy. And so it takes us that time to do it. But we got so much help here at 204. I told the wrestlers, I don't know if you were in there in the locker room ahead of time, but, you know, I told all of them in there, I got their attention. I said, guys, I can't tell you what it means to me and to this school for them to come and to perform. And wrestling here at 204 has really became something really great, and something that the kids can identify with. They identify with me, and I really think it's helped our school out a lot. And I appreciate all those guys that put in the work, that wrestle in the matches, the Jim Keltons and the Sams and the Kevin Huntsbergers who put in work behind the scenes that don't get seen, you know, and guys like that. And then I got people like my custodian who came all weekend long and helped me out. You know, wow. He's our custodian. My secretary, Heather, she worked her tail end off Saturday night and ahead of time, even before that. And so it takes a lot of people to do it. But what I try to tell people like the lady from West Frankfort is I've got a recipe for success. You know, if somebody wants to do this fundraiser, and it's very unique, you know, it's and what I try to explain to people is that we raised over $3,000 Saturday night.
Wow.
And that's profit. You know, we paid, you know, for different things. We paid for the wrestlers and the ring. We paid ourselves to rent the ring, you know, and that kind of thing. But, you know, after that, we raised that much money. But the thing is a lot of that money didn't come from Pinckneyville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of that money comes from around the surrounding towns. And that's what I love about this fundraiser is we're not asking every member of our district to buy a basket of apples or, you know, cookie dough or, you know, whatever else. Right. Those are good fundraisers. But this is a thing that if you want to come and spend an evening here, and there's that niche of people that do, then great. Come and do it. And we're going to make, you know, we're going to make some good money for somebody. We're going to have a good time, and it's just a great recipe. But it takes work, Kevin. You know, promoting a show is,
absolutely.
Is not easy.
And talk to me a little bit about that. Was that a tough sell? Because you obviously have the recipe for success down now because thousands of dollars have been raised not only for your school, but we've raised money for a woman battling cancer, of course, storm victims from about a year and a half ago. So, you know, the money is being made, but you mentioned earlier, you know, some people are kind of leery when they hear wrestling, and especially in a school setting and environment. Did you have any obstacles with your school board or other administrators or teachers or parents even?
My school board, the first time I went to them, you know, to be honest with you, when I went to them, I was skeptical myself, mm-hmm. you know, because, and you know me at shows, I don't know if you've ever been backstage listening to me with the guys. I tell them over and over, guys, I love that you're here. Just we're out of school. Just be careful, you know. Just I can't tell you enough, you know. Watch your language and actions. And I said, you know, and I even have to get on to my kids too, because it, you know, some of them think it's real. I mean, you saw Saturday night. We had a girl going crazy the entire night,
because
she thought I was getting killed, you know, mm-hmm. but because she thought it was real, and so. You know, I didn't have much pushback. The first one went really well. The second one went pretty good. I think Matt Boyce got his lip cut open and actually bled more that match than what Tony did Saturday night.
Really?
From a mouth injury.
Okay.
And, he got blood all over the canvas that night, but, you know, it was an accident. He got kicked in the mouth and, you know, it happens and, you know, but, I didn't have much pushback. I still don't. We had one match here. Plumlee was in a last man standing match, and they got a little bit into the crowd, which was planned. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, which was part of the match. But in my comfort, it was a little too close for comfort. You know, it was a little too much into the crowd, and so I try to really monitor what goes on. And I'm one of the worst, Kevin. You know me, I love Tony. He's the best person I've ever wrestled.
Yeah.
And he takes chances, but I tell you what, I feel so safe with him all the time.
Yeah.
And so, we'll take some chances here and there, but with the guys, I'm sure sometimes they get frustrated with me or get frustrated with Tyler because, you know, I tell Tyler, guys, now Tyler, I don't want this or that, you know, we got to be careful. And so then Tyler has to relay the message, and I'm sure that makes some of them, you know, a little disappointed because they may want to have tried something different, you know, or new or a little, you know, a little edgy, but, no, I haven't gotten any pushback, and I tried calling a couple other area superintendents at times that, people were wanting to do fundraisers in the school, and I got pushback, you know, in that regard, as far as, I'm just not sure about promoting violence, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
Of course, I try to talk to them and say, we'll come in ahead of time, have an assembly, talk to them about, you know, how this works and good versus evil and you know, how that overcomes and how it applies to their life. And, you know, and I really feel like if a school if you've got somebody there, or even a nonprofit for that matter, if you've got somebody who's passionate about kids, you know, I feel like I can sit down with that person, as long as they're a go-getter, and we can really do something special, not just money-wise. Mm-hmm. But you saw, Kevin, you see it every show we have, every show Stride has. There's parents with their kids,
yep,
having a good time. You know, I mean, nowadays, that you just don't see it a whole lot unless they're playing sports somewhere, you know, or doing something. And
yeah, and it's just like
a neat environment.
All eyes are on the ring. You know, people aren't on their phones other than to take pictures or whatnot. But it is that time, and your little buddy Isaac, who I now consider my little buddy too. You know, I was near his family most of the night, and just watching him and kind of living vicariously and remembering those memories when I was a kid and getting to go. And, you know, it was the same kind of thing for me. I did that those experiences with my dad. And so getting to kind of redo that and share that kind of joy, and it's hard to articulate it, but it is so much of those memories and that nostalgia that helps bring joy and pleasure to other people. Now, you did mention Tony and his injury, and he obviously did get hurt in the course of the match after hitting that ladder. At any point, did you feel, you know, because the match went on for a couple more minutes, and Tony is a trooper, and you to kind of witness what had happened. My hat's off to both of you guys. Had you ever been in a situation like that, and what were you thinking as you decided to proceed forward?
You know, I had never been in a situation where, I mean, I personally broke my wrist one time at Harrisburg. Me and Tyler were wrestling on Daniel Eads and Chris Hargis, mm-hmm, down there at Harrisburg High School. And I broke my wrist on the very last move, you know, so that was not the same idea. You know, I mean, I did a frog splash, bam, broke my wrist. I knew it was broke and pinned him, and that was over with. So, but this was totally different. This was the middle of the match, or even the first, you know, half of the match.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him hit the ladder. I saw him go. When I saw him take a couple extra rolls towards the ring ropes, I thought something might be wrong. And then when I saw the blood, I knew, you know. But the thing with Tony is, and what the fans there don't know, you know, about Tony is, like I said, I really feel like he has his head on his shoulders. He knows what he can do and what he can't do. And when he told me, you know, when I got the message to go home, you know, I knew he was hurt. Obviously, with the blood going, we can't continue to do everything we want, you know, was going to do. But I knew he was good. I mean, I knew it. I mean, there was not a doubt in my mind that, you know, if he wanted to do the go, you know, because he could have stayed down right then.
Right.
Because it was a 10-count match.
Yep.
He was obviously hurt. It would have made perfect sense. He just busted open with a ladder. Made
right.
Perfect sense that
sure.
You're done.
Right.
You know, but when he looked at me and said, go home, I knew he was good to go. And so I worked with him enough. And so we went outside the ring and headed towards the stage. And of course, I threw him off the stage. And I realized people that were second guessing, you know, doing that. But as far as I'm concerned, Tony's as professional as they get.
Yeah.
And as soon as he told me he was good, that's enough for me, you know, because I would have done the same thing. I mean, it looked bad. It looked worse than what it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could have been worse. He just, the ladder just wasn't where it needed to be. You know, it just wasn't in the right spot. And he kind of under-rotated. And you know, I've seen him hit that move a whole lot.
Yeah.
I've been underneath him when he hit that
yeah,
move
absolutely.
A few times. He hit it holding a ladder the last time I was underneath him. So, you know, that's his thing, and you know, you just got to learn from it. I mean, wrestling is, and that's what I tell our kids, and I didn't get a chance to Saturday, but down in Gallatin County, you know, before the wrestling starts, I need to start doing this more often, as I love to get out there and talk to the kids and say, hey, guys, these guys doing this are professionals, you know. We love that you get cheering with it and have fun. But do not go home and try some of this stuff, because these are serious moves that you can seriously get hurt with. And it's just not something you want to necessarily try on a human being.
Right. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. So. And that's the thing, too. I mean, obviously, for to become a you know, you didn't just wake up one morning and say, well, you know what? Instead of wearing my khakis and my shirt and tie to school today, I'm going to decide I'm going to get in the ring and wrestle. There was obviously some training that went through and still kind of goes on today. Same thing with Josh, you know, the Stone Cold Plumpster. You guys have gotten in there and trained and worked, and that's why it's been successful as well, because you talk about all that hard work of setting things up and getting the pumpkins and the stage set and booking Abyss and getting him here and making sure he's happy and you know, making sure all the other boys in the back are where they need to be and happy and whatnot. You're also having to worry about your own match and making sure that you're not getting hurt. And, you know, also, it's just so much that goes on, and people, I think, forget that there are steps all along the way. It's 2 hours or 3 hours of entertainment, but there are, like you said, days that go into probably even weeks, I would imagine, with the planning and getting everybody coordinated in place. But the smiles on the faces and the money that was raised going to a good cause, which is Community Consolidated 204, it's got to be worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is. I like to challenge myself personally of trying to pull it off, you know, of trying to do it, you know. I know Tyler's there, Haddon. I know the boys are going to come with everything they got. I know he's got them prepared. He's worked a year on the storylines, and, you know, he's done his part, and so I don't have to worry about any of that. But you're right. When I'm wrestling, it's extremely difficult because, you know, I'm kind of, I don't know if anal's the right word for it, but there's a better, more professional word for it. But, you know, perfectionist or whatever, so to speak. And so I don't trust anybody else to run the lights, or I don't trust, you know, it's very difficult for me to give up, you know. So when the night's going on, you know, one of the first things Tyler said to me is you really need to find somebody to do that for you so you can be back and get ready for your match, that kind of thing. And I completely understand that, because it's kind of out of kayfabe for me to be standing out there the whole time and making sure things are going and the ladder gets out of the ring and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So in the future, you know, probably for me personally, you know, I wouldn't mind stepping back out of the wrestling so much and more be there to, you know, make sure things are running smoothly, you know, do kind of what you do too, help out with, you try to do that as well, I noticed, you know, during the matches and make sure people are showing up on time and that kind of thing. And so it's difficult, but I enjoy the challenge of it. I really do. We're really hoping to do a Christmas show sometime soon, so I got some good ideas for that too. But
awesome.
But our next show, probably 204 wise, we were not going to do one in the spring, but we've changed our minds. We have a family that moved in, the Drake family, moved into our district this year. They come to us from Benton, and previously from that they were Assessor, and their daughter, Nancy, has a severe form of cancer and has had for several years now, and it's just a tough road for them, and she's having to start treatments again, and so we really want to try to do something for them, and so we will probably have a benefit show sometime in the near future for them and try to go that route. And, you know, and that's what I try to do. And part of why I wanted to be on here today. And I don't know how many people listen to this that, you know, that aren't wrestling fans already, but, you know, it's trying to encourage other nonprofits, you know, that, this is a great way to make some money. Even if you don't work as hard as what we work to get the posters out and to get the word out and to advertise here and there and to get on the radio and get on Channel 3 News. And, you know, even if you just use your own resources, which is your kids in your school, your kids in your baseball team or your basketball team, to have them get the word out, to sell some tickets, you can make some money pretty easily. And not only that, but I think you're doing even more by having an event that people want to come to and have some fun at, you know. So
absolutely, and folks, we'll have the link on how you can, you know, get involved, or if you are interested in learning more about Stride Pro Wrestling fundraisers, we'll have Jerry's contact information in the write-up for the show. Jerry, as we kind of wrap things up, you talked about kind of scaling back a little bit. Before that happens, if you had a dream opponent that you could bring into Stride or even just wrestle in general, who would that be?
Oh, boy, dream opponent. That's a tough one. You know, there's a lot of guys I'd like to see wrestle. You know, and again, and the guys that passed away that were big time type of guys. But I'm gonna be honest with you, Kevin. This is nothing. Not trying to blow smoke or off for anybody, but I tell you, my last match that I ever wrestled, I wanted to be against Tony Flood. I mean,
it would be appropriate.
I mean, that's just. That's just where I am with it. I mean, you know, I just really enjoy wrestling him, and I, you know, there's other guys that, yeah, it'd be cool to get in the ring with, and I hope I do one of these days. I mean, the last match I ever wrestled, I hope is with Tony. And before we wrap up, I can't say enough too about Tyler. You know, somehow through these fundraising shows and that we've been down here at 204 at the high school. People associate my name with Stride a lot, you know, and I really don't have anything to do with Stride. I mean, Tyler is the one who had this vision, and I don't know that he gets enough credit for going out on a limb, you know, his own personal life and starting up a wrestling business and training these guys. You look at that roster Saturday night, there's a few guys on there from another from other promotions, but a lot of those guys are Stride guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either they hooked with Stride and stayed with them, you know, after they had been trained, or they had been trained through Stride. And a lot of that, I mean, there's no one else to look at and give credit to besides Tyler on that. And I think sometimes we kind of, I really think he should get more of the credit on it because he does some good things. But you know what? You know him as well as I do. He's pretty vocal on Facebook. But he's never, you know, he never brags on himself with the wrestling, you know, right, that he's done and the business that he's made.
Yeah,
and that's something that I appreciate.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate you and Josh and what you guys are doing up at 204 and helping Stride, because you know, we've used your ring and your equipment and some of your other stuff for some of those other fundraisers that we talked about, and I'll be picking your brain here in the very near future as well for some other potential upcoming events as well. But Jerry, sure, anything else you want to throw out there before we say goodbye?
No, just want to say thanks to all the people listening and encourage them to do the same thing we've done, step out on a limb and give it a try. I really appreciate all the guys, the wrestlers that have came to 204, to high school, that go to Stride and do their events. You know, there's so many wrestlers on the card that, you know, they get out there and they work so hard and put on a great show. And sometimes, you know, they don't always get the credit they deserve. But I just want to thank all those guys.
Absolutely. Well, Jerry, thanks again for being a part of the show. Fans, if you have questions or comments, I'll have everything in the write-up over at jitterymonkey.com, or you can also check out Stride Pro Wrestling on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Once again, a big thank you to T-Dog Jerry Travelstead for being a part of my 123 Cents, the podcast, and for all the work that he does, not only with Stride Pro Wrestling, but with the community in general. So this is the portion of the show where I'm going to do some plugs and do the Ask My 123 Cents. It's a feature that I'm going to do every week here on the podcast. So be sure to ask your questions. You can ask them here on the podcast link or anywhere on social media. Just use the hashtag Ask My 123 Cents. And I'm going to get to the questions in just a minute. Just want to remind everybody, there are several great shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, including Positive Cynicism with Chad Smart. I'm going to plug Chad, too. He is about to run his very first half marathon. He's doing it for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. The run itself is where he lives out in California. I would encourage you, if you haven't already, check the My 123 Cents Facebook page. I shared it there. He is raising money, obviously, for this run and wants to get to $1,000. So if you are so inclined and have a few extra bucks, please go ahead and make a donation. That race coming up very soon. Also, something that's ending very soon is the Pro Wrestling Tees anniversary sale. If you are listening to this on Monday, October 15th at noon, on Monday, October 15th, that sale ends. You could save 20% by using the code RETAIL. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Of course, I would love it if you went to ProWrestlingTees.com/my123cents and bought a Mondo the Monkey shirt. I'm working on a couple of other designs. I know I say that every week. Really, work is being done, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks, especially in time for Christmas, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There will be a new design out for the holiday season for sure. Greg Mahochko, who is the co-founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, has the Five Heart Podcast as well as Nerds United, so be sure to check out those shows. My friends Tom and Jim at Tom and Jim's Top 5, the Skullbuster WrestleCast, Podzilla 1985 has a variety of great shows, including Pro Wrestling Unscripted. That is my weekly go-to as well. There's the Ring General Radio Show, the Our Vantage Point podcast. They've kind of revamped their show after episode 100. So check out many great independent, I call them indie wrestling podcasts or just independent indie podcasts. Check them all out. Rate and review this show as well as all your other favorite shows on whatever platform you are listening on. It would be greatly appreciated. Now for today's question, and we kind of answered this during the course of the interview with Jerry, but Sam Banks asks, and I know what he's talking about, so I'm not going to tiptoe around it, but he says, hypothetically speaking, if an independent wrestler were to terribly botch a move, almost paralyzing themselves, would you suggest that wrestler continue to use the move they almost paralyzed themselves with, or do you think it might be a good idea for that wrestler to take that move out of their arsenal? Hashtag ask my 123 cents. This is in reference, I'm 99% certain, to Tony Flood, who Jerry and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, or just over a week ago now. Tony climbed to the top rope and went to do his moonsault, and he misstepped and misjudged the distance and hit his head on a ladder that was in the ring. He split his head open, ended up getting some liquid stitches, but there was no concussion, there was no... there really, honestly, was not a whole lot of blood loss in terms of him being. It looked, as Jerry said, it looked much worse than it actually was. So to say that he terribly botched a move and almost paralyzed himself is not accurate. So take that out of the equation. You know, Sam, here's the thing, and anyone who's listening to this, Tony has spoken out on social media since this incident. He does not plan to take this move out of his arsenal. You know, it makes me nervous anytime I'm watching a wrestling show, whether it's an indie show or it's WWE, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground, all of those guys and women, when they get in the ring, there is a risk of getting hurt. You see missteps and misguided moves, and you know, unfortunately, accidents happen. Look at what happened in WWE many years ago with Darren Drozdov. You know, he is paralyzed for life now due to some other circumstances that happen with inside the ring. Look at Daniel Bryan, who is back in WWE wrestling again, and I am certainly happy to see that, but he got to where he was before from some of the high-risk moves he took and suffering repeated concussions. And it doesn't look to me like he has scaled back or pared back on his bag of wrestling moves at all. So yeah, that does concern me. And if I were to say, should Tony Flood never do a moonsault again? I would say no, it was an accident. There was a ladder in the ring. There were things that were not usually there that are supposed to be there. So I don't think Tony should necessarily change or stop doing the moonsault. Obviously, he will, and whomever he is in the ring with will, be more aware of the surroundings and whatnot. Just like any other indie wrestler, you know, you have to, as they say, you learn from your mistakes. And, you know, I think that Tony has. I think that anyone watching that match would pick up and know some things now for the next time. So, Sam, I'm going to agree to disagree with you on your stance on this, but I do completely 100% see your point of view from a fan perspective. I wish that you would have been there and seen it. It, like I said, it looked much more gruesome in the beginning than it was, and then as referee Lane Austin and as Jerry Travelstead both checked on Tony, you know, there's a code in the wrestling world, and they all three were in agreement that the match was okay to continue on, and it did continue on, and so I respect that decision, and that is my official answer to Sam's question on Ask My 123 Cents. Again, I encourage everyone who is listening, if you have a question about indie wrestling or just anything in general, you can ask. Nothing is off limits. I'm going to answer questions about things. You know, this question that Sam asked, you know, not necessarily a who's your favorite WWE superstar of all time type of question, but I'll answer those questions too. So the hard questions are fine as well. Everyone, again, thanks so much for listening to My 123 Cents, the podcast. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.